Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 110 of the Top Loaded Podcast. And I hope everyone out there is doing well in the slightly warmer temperatures this weekend, even though it's about 400 mile an hour winds, which are then dropping the temperature. But most importantly, H, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, very well, thank you, mate. Very well. Like, it's obviously warm, but yeah, blustery weekend. So, all is well, mate. All is well. How are you? All good?
Yeah, can't complain at all. Like we say, as soon as them clocks change, the temperature gets a bit warmer. It's basically beer garden weather sooner rather than later. So yeah. No one's complaining about that. But obviously, before we get into this episode, I just want to say a massive thanks yet again to the guys over at Third Down to Space for powering up this episode of the Top Loaded Podcast. Whether you want card supplies, look, this is one I prepared earlier. Kurt's Code Kit. That's courtesy of underscore Trade Soccer. I've been borrowing that one to prep some cards, and I can say it works an absolute treat. Whether it's actually custom stands, even brake mats, brake boards, everything now. Literally, I was going through their website the other day and I was like, oh, I could do with that. It gets carried away. And I know, H, obviously we get 10% off, and I know you're debating using it very soon. Is it finally time that we see some HJA custom stands arriving in the lovely display case so you have to reorganize it all again?
Yeah, I think it's about time. I think, you know, I've got one of the London Card Show stands. So I think, yeah, I need to, long overdue, get some podcasts and obviously personal card stands made up. And obviously using the code TTP10, obviously, to get 10% off. But I think I will have to break the spell and get some custom card stands made up. Long overdue, like I've said, it's been far too long. I need to get some made up.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, if you head underneath the post on our Instagram or the link in our bio, it'll take you straight over to the guys at Third Down Displays where you can purchase anything you want. And like we say, using TTP10 at checkout, we'll get 10% off anything you order. But we thought this week, I've had quite a few interesting discussions over the past 7 to 14 days about how the UK side of the hobby is going, whether it's plateauing, is it still growing, is it slightly diminishing? And I thought it was quite an interesting topic, so we're going to cover it today. And we're going to break up into different aspects of it. We've done this before, and obviously, it's easy to split it up into like buy, sell, and all this. But the first area I want to talk about, and it's the interactive experience. Obviously, we had VOGT. We had, now it's Whatnot. They own sole market share of it in the UK. And obviously, we know Fanatics Live is coming. We speculate it's coming within the next 6 to 12 months, if not earlier. But do you think the Whatnot, I personally haven't seen it, and this is being truly honest here, is it's not as influential as it was 3, 4, 5 months ago. Obviously, you still got some great guys over there breaking product. But I remember in the heyday of Whatnot, say 8 to 12 months ago, there was probably 5, 6, 7, 8 live streams at once of just doing singles. Then you have 7, 8, 9 breakers. But H, honestly, with Whatnot, you could easily go a whole month without even clicking on the app now.
Yeah, and I think this is what we touched on. I know, obviously, when we first started talking about Whatnot coming to the UK, I think we said, you know, at one point it was, you know, it's a very flooded platform. You know, like we said, obviously, you had obviously, you know, your main front runners that obviously were the bigger breakers on the app. And, you know, for the people that are starting out or obviously smaller breakers trying to get onto the app and obviously trying to get obviously a platform running, was obviously a lot harder to do so when you've got some of the big breakers obviously are all streaming at the same time. And I think as a result of that, over the course of the last 6 to 12 months, it's just sort of proven that, because people have tried to go onto Whatnot, haven't got the right platform, the right support, the right viewings, the right sort of, you know, base in general, and they've just sort of, you know, gone, I can't keep doing this. And as a result, obviously, it's come to a point where you've literally just got the main people that are still breaking on there, are still doing streams on there. And everyone else that's tried and failed, obviously, have just packed it in. So I think it's something that obviously we first spoke about when, like I said, when Whatnot was coming to the UK, in terms of how that could have an effect on breaker streamers, people that are in the hobby, in terms of obviously how flooded it probably was at a certain time. And I feel like as a result, it's sort of just plateaued off a little bit in terms of the way that the platform's being used, who's using it, how frequently it's being used. And, you know, it's not a bad thing, obviously, to a certain extent, in terms of how much, you know, popularity was on there at a point. But for now, as a result of it being predominantly run obviously by some of the bigger breakers within the UK. It's, you know, fair play to them. Do you know what I mean? They've got such a platform, such a community, that for anyone else to try and get onto the app, to try and get a successful stream going, obviously it's a lot more difficult than obviously if you were one of the bigger breakers. So yeah, it's obviously, like I said, you can't go weeks before so you even click on the app or you see any sort of streams on there. So it's one of them things where over time, is it going to gradually pick back up again? Who knows? But I think at the moment, yeah, Whatnot is probably taking a little bit of a back burner in terms of how popular it is, how much business is going through the app. And not to say that it's, you know, completely quiet, because there are people streaming on there still. But in terms of what it once was, it has now definitely taken a massive dip, obviously, in the market.
Yeah, I think, especially with Whatnot, it was quite an intriguing one, because I remember, like, not even on air, it might have been on air as well, but off air, I always questioned one of their big decisions, which was, for the first God knows how long, the only delivery option you could actually select was Every. And obviously, famously, Every, it was Hermes before it. And to be honest, it's one of the worst delivery company. Don't get me wrong, they all have mistakes, but there's a lot of horror stories that go with Every in the card world. Obviously, now they have opened up the option of DPD, Raw Mail, and anything like that, which is good. At least they're learning and they're hearing that side of the hobby. But it always seems like they had that platform. They really threw a lot of stuff at it when VOD was there as a competitor. And then as soon as they lost their competition, they kind of just settled, which is never really a good thing to have. I think anyone will see that within business in general, is if you're at the top, you've got to maintain yourself at the top. And now, with, like we're saying, with the likes of Fanatics Live, which obviously is out in the States, and they're doing massive things. For example, this weekend at WrestleMania, they had Rey Mysterio on there. They had a few of the other superstars. So they've got the pull of all these athletes or whatever it might be to come onto their platform. That Whatnot are going to have to be very careful. I've like looking at their last London card show, for example. You see their presence at every single show before that. They had the spinning wheel giving out free bits, whole streaming area, where the last time it was just the live area sponsored by Whatnot. So even like their smaller footprint at the card show, it must be truly reflective, H, that obviously they've thrown a lot at it. I wonder internally, are they discussing what the next steps are? Because it's really that same point with VOG. It's whether they go hard in on it and try and get bigger, or who knows, maybe in 5-6 months, they might just end up like VOG and just not operating in the UK, maybe just going back to the States.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's probably potentially point of their discussion as well, whether they thought we pumped so much into the UK scene, the UK hobby, and it grew to a point where they were like, okay, this is becoming a very flooded platform. Whether they've then taken a step back, and as a result, the hobby's taken a step back, and then they now think, what do we do next? Do we go full steam ahead again? I don't know. But it's definitely, you know, an interesting topic at the moment. And I think as well, obviously, you know, when I'm 99% sure it was Whatnot, was when they introduced Klarna. I think that was Whatnot, wasn't it? It was Whatnot, yeah. But obviously, as a payment method, I think obviously it did turn a lot of attention, it turned a lot of heads in terms of, hang on a minute, like, is this a promotion of, if you can't afford it, pay on Klarna sort of thing, which obviously the hobby's not about. You know, if you can't afford it, you don't buy it. It's not a case of, well, let's give you an outlet where you can buy into breaks, you can buy these different cards and pay it within 30 days, pay it off in three installments. And I don't think that was particularly a great A, marketing, or B, influence, obviously, within the hobby. And yeah, so it turned, obviously, a lot of heads. It caused a lot of upset and a lot of, obviously, of opinions, obviously, about them introducing Klarna, which obviously they very quickly, obviously, obviously dismissed. But has that had an impact, obviously, in terms of Whatnot's popularity, where people have gone against that now because they didn't like the promotion of possible debt, if you like, to a certain extent? So that could play a big part in it as well. But like I said, it's like anything. You get out what you put into something. And I think, you know, if they're now taking a bit of a step back and not promoting themselves, not, you know, putting their all into the UK hobby like they probably once were, inevitably that the platform is going to start to sort of, you know, quieten down as well. So who knows what obviously their next few steps potentially could be within the hobby, or what direction they go in now. But it's definitely going to be one to keep an eye on, obviously, in the next sort of few months.
Yeah, my last point on it as well is obviously what never helps the likes of Whatnot. If they take obviously a percentage of every single sale, then obviously the shipping's not as bad, because the buyer just pays it directly. However, we are seeing a resurgence of website breakers. Obviously, TFF is on both, for example, but you've got like the dub breaks, I think, and there's a few murmurings that a few of the other breakers might be going on to like the website-based ones, where obviously it's at their own discretion what they do. Whereas Whatnot, I don't know if people actually do know this, but one of the terms of service with Whatnot is if you go live and you set a spot for a break, you have to do that break whilst you're live. You can't come off to come back on. So that's another one as well. That if there's no traffic on there, you've got to sell this break out. And obviously, people don't want to take a loss on it. So you see it sometimes where people stream for 4 or 5 hours just to sell out one break because there's no traffic on Whatnot in comparison to what there used to be. So like I say, it's going to be quite an intriguing one over the next few months, obviously building into Fanatics Live, which is quite exciting as well by what they're doing in the States. Like I say, it's going to be similar to what Whatnot did when they first come over, but they're putting power of Fanatics and their power behind them financially is considerably more than Whatnot. So it can be an interesting time for the UK hobby in terms of that. And I think it's a natural transition to talking about selling at the moment because it directly does link into Whatnot. Whereas Whatnot, there was a lot of good single streams going on. There's not as many, don't get me wrong, there's still some, but not as many. Well, now a lot of people are going through consignment groups, like Card Market or TradeWee. Do you think, like we're saying, that's now something that's transitioned quite a lot over from the US? Obviously, the likes of DC Sports 87 out there, which is an absolute fantastic one. But do you think now that's going to have the opposite effect of less people might actually put stuff out themselves because they might be like, all right, they might take a percentage of what the card is, but they're going to get 20 times the amount of eyes that it could lead to everything going through these consignment groups and not really much going through individual people.
Yeah, and I think we briefly touched on it. Obviously, I think it was the last episode we were talking about obviously the consignment groups and how they work and what benefit they could possibly have to the hobby. And I think it again brings that point of obviously people's time. You know, if you haven't got time to sit on eBay, sit on Instagram, wherever, and chuck up 50, 60, 70 listings in an evening in the day with work and what else you've got going on, obviously it's not feasible to then, you know, if you have 50 listings ending at the same time, then package them all up, address them all up, get into the post office. The easiest then next solution is to send them to a consignment service like, for example, TradeWee, where they do it all for you. You send the car to them, they list it up, they picture it, they post it off, you know, and you get obviously a margin obviously of what the card sold for. So, you know, whether, you know, I think lazy is the wrong word to use, but just in terms of maximizing sales, maximizing obviously the amount of people that can physically see that particular card you're trying to sell, unless you've got obviously a big eBay platform profile, obviously the next best bet is to go through these consignment services. You know, see, I think personally, I think, you know, a lot of sales through Instagram have quietened down over the last sort of couple of months. I know obviously with Prism, obviously a lot of it was going back through Prism again, and you do still see a handful of buy and sell and trading through Instagram, but compared to what we probably have known before, it has definitely, you know, eased off a little bit. Whether people are now pumping it all onto eBay or going through these consignment services, it's interesting to see the way the trend is going at the moment in terms of how people are looking to sell their cards. You know, obviously you saw, I said, obviously a massive increase obviously when Prism was also released last month, and you know, perhaps it is now then gradually starting to die down again until the next release. But yeah, I think, you know, at the moment in terms of logistical sense, in terms of time consuming, these consignment companies obviously must be obviously at the moment becoming very successful because people just either don't have the time to list up these many cars onto eBay and have the time to package and post them, deal with anything that hasn't arrived, et cetera, et cetera. Where, you know, you post the card off to these consignment companies and you put your hands up, put your feet up and you wait for it to sell. So yeah, it's interesting to see the way the trends are going at the moment, people selling. But yeah, I mean, who knows also where the trend's going to go next.
Yeah, like I say, I think it's quite a pivotal year within the UK. And like, that's why I thought we'd do this that actual special episode on it, because it's very much a different landscape in comparison to this time last year, that quite a few of the breakers have been bought out by certain companies within the UK. So there's a lot less breakers, or they're just breaking for another company. Like you say, now we've got more consignment groups popping up. It is really materializing into a lot. Obviously, people realizing there's money to be made within the hobby, so it's a business. Their business is being set up, and I think no one can ever say a bad word about someone setting up a business, because like, at the end of the day, it's very clever. Being an entrepreneur is a very big thing. And for the UK scene, we did say this a lot, like it was going to be the people who take the bull by a horn, so to speak, that were going to reap the rewards. We see that with certain breakers. Now we're seeing it with certain people. And now going into the next topic, which I think is grading, which is quite an intriguing one, because obviously there's always been middlemen services. Okay, people now are doing it by themselves, but still, if you go sub to PSA and it's a special, you need membership, then you need to cover postage, and then you need to cover shipping insurance, and then shipping back and customs. So it's a lot more to it. So middleman service is always going to be easier in the UK until they set up a UK or European office or whatever it may be. So, H, obviously, the grading side of it, there's a few bigger players within the scene. Obviously, you've got Subcenter, which were more based in TCG, which are now obviously branching out into sports, which have become the official middleman service of the London Card Show this week, who have actually got a store in Kent. Then the likes of the Grading Club, Jim, whoever else might be. But how have you seen the transition over the last 12 months? Because it seemed like there was a lot of promotion from these middlemen service this time last year. But now it doesn't seem to be as prominent, like not as in your face. Is that because more people just doing it themselves, do you think, now? Or is it a thing of if people have just come accustomed to it, so it's just second nature?
I think it possibly could lean more towards the latter. I do think that, you know, grading probably is at probably its peak at the moment. You know, so a lot of people are grading a lot of cars. And I said, where you've got these middlemen services that if you cut out all of the nitty gritty bits and pieces with it, you know, obviously you always see every sort of, you know, middlemen service at London Card Show all just round the whole day with possibly people wanting to submit cards. So I think it is more a case of people are accustomed to it. People know who they go to now. People use the same people over and over again. So perhaps it's a case of they don't necessarily need to promote as much as they once have done, because they've already built that customer base now. They've bought them. They've got that customer base. People are just continuously going back to them to grade more cards, as opposed to needing to promote their services to gain that custom. So perhaps it is now more of a case of, you know, that they people know who they use. People continue to use these people, and it's just a case of repeat business. And I guess when the time comes that they may need to sort of, you know, push themselves out there a bit more to, you know, gain some more custom, or so I'm sure the time will come. But, you know, arguably PSA haven't, also know have released obviously a few specials recently, but maybe aren't doing as much as they were last year. So yeah, I think, you know, so it's a mixture of everything, but in my opinion personally, I think it's just a case of how popular grading has been, that people know who they use, that people have built these customer bases already, that they possibly don't feel the need to promote as much as they once were, because they've already got that repeat business coming back to them.
Yeah, I think I'm going to play devil advocate, so to speak, here, that I feel like it's like we were saying with Whatnot. I think some of them have got comfortable in their own ways, and not to say anything bad against it, but it's they push so hard to get to the top of their field that once they get there, are they still striving to do the best, like, is it the best service? Whereas I think the perfect centre is this Subcenter at the moment, where last time we see it, I remember seeing them one card show, they had a table. Then the last London Card Show, they had this massive like pavilion tent thing, which looked really cool. And like their own massive area. So you can see that they're really going after it. Like their branding's on point. And it's nice to see, like as you say, people taking the ball by its horns. I think it's fantastic. So like I say, I think especially at the next London Card Show, no doubt when Harry does come on the week before the card show, which, believe it or not, it's only about a month away now somehow it's only about a month away. Obviously, there's a few more shows before then, but it'd be quite intriguing to talk to him about his views on that, because that's another spot, like another company coming on board with him. And I know he's very much in the same mindset to us at the Top Loaded Podcast of you only work with companies that are in the same mindset as him. So it'd be quite intriguing to see what he thinks about that. But in terms of grading, I think now a lot of people are doing it themselves. By what I've spoke to a lot of people, all right, you've got to probably stomach maybe £100, £110, maybe more in shipping and stuff like that. But having that freedom of I can just send it off when I want to send it off. I can then just look on my PSA app. All right, that's where a card is. Okay, that's the next step. Oh, wait, it's popped. Oh, I can have a look at it. The ease of being able to just check it when you want to check it, not having to message people, wait for them to respond. The ease of it, sometimes it's worth paying that little bit extra. Obviously, if you're trying to flip for money, the middleman services are really good, because it will work out better per card Whereas it might be doing it yourself, you might add on £4 a card. Middleman service, you might only be adding on £1.50 a card. So if you're flipping to very small margins, that's going to be better. But I do think that grading's in an interesting point. And I do think with the likes of Fanatics coming over, there's surely it's only a matter of time that a PSA is got to be looking at a European office. Obviously, for us, if it's anywhere but the UK, we're going to still charge different custom fees and stuff like that. But having that ease, if it was in Europe, would be sensational, because you could just send it to Netherlands, Belgium, or wherever it is. And then it's not going to be as busy. You're not going to have all the states sending there. All right, they won't have as many people over it, but who knows? That could be such a good thing for the hobby. And I think it's nothing near. I'm sure Hadrian will agree in a second. It's not near that there'll be a PSA in Europe. But surely, if the hobby does continue to grow, PSA, BGS, SGC, CGC, whoever it may be, must think of some sort of route to go along within the UK and Europe, because there's a big collector space there and a lot of money.
Yeah, and I think you'd like to think that, you know, given PSA's presence at the London Card Show, for example, and, you know, possibly what they've seen of the UK hobby, it's got to start the cogs possibly turning within PSA to think we need to get some form of presence in the UK, in Europe, wherever, to incorporate for these, you know, European collectors that want to grade with us. You know, so you have got middlemen in most of Europe. But, you know, possibly from having PSA's presence at the London Card Show to then start thinking there's a lot of customer base here that we can utilize that want to use our services. And, you know, it makes sense for them to possibly bring open something within the UK, within Europe, because it would just take off. And I think it doesn't take, you know, a rocket scientist to work out how successful that would be within Europe. As you say, it's probably going to be nowhere near in the early future. We're probably looking obviously a little while away yet. But if the hobby does continue the way it is, with the demand for grading still as high as it is, I'd struggle to understand if PSA weren't to release something within Europe or bring an office over to Europe to obviously incorporate for the custom business that they've possibly got waiting here for them in the UK and obviously in Europe.
Yeah, that was to say, I think it's going to be quite intriguing when moving forward. And I think Fanatics are going to have a massive say in the European scene. Obviously, they have a lot of licenses within Europe already. We know that they've got a lot of footballers, athletes signed to them within the UK as well. So I feel like they're going to make a big push. We've seen, obviously, their CEOs come over in the past anyway to the UK. Check out Kaboom store in London. He's also, I think, flirted around with, I've heard him in podcast stuff, saying the European market is untapped. And obviously such a lion's share of the product goes to either Asia or America, that it's got to be time that we do get allocation, but it's only a fraction of what it is elsewhere. So hopefully we manage to get our allocation up for boxes, cases, whatever it may be, to more people. But more importantly, not everything to breakers. That's the one thing that I think frustrates a lot of people, where the everyday person within the hobby can't get a box on the raffle system, but they see a breaker who gets 17 cases. Don't get me wrong. If you're a business, you're always going to go to a breaker who's going to give you high quantity of purchases every time. However, if without the person who's collecting every card buying into break, the hobby's not going to happen. So they've got to remember at the end of the day that people who want to buy the cards want to buy boxes as well. And just increase the actual giving out on the raffles a little bit more, that you're not forced upon going into breaks to try and get the cards you want. Because I know, H, me and you in the past have gone into raffle systems, all that, and been unlucky. But do you think that's something as well to look at maybe in the future of, surely the allocation for Europe's got to go up slightly more than what it is now. That honestly, if I had to probably guess, and this is not factual, there's no evidence behind it, but if you're looking at the 100% of the boxes, say, Prism, I would probably have thought 5%, if that, head to Europe, and it's probably so much more everywhere else. But surely now it's time for Europe to maybe get a bit more cards, especially them big sets, because they're going to sell out anyway. Panini UK website, come on now. Get some boxes on there. They've got Score on there and stuff like that. But why not have Prism on there? Why not give us the option of buying some of the highest sets within the UK and not having to go all the way to the US or wherever it is?
Yeah, no, of course. I said, obviously, you know, we've seen how popular the demand is for product in the UK with also some of the releases going into Game or, you know, wherever, Smiths, et cetera, et cetera. So I think for the allocation to be increased into Europe is only going to be a matter of time before Panini obviously starts to reconsider and obviously up the allocation. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think, you know, we can't deny the obvious in terms of businesses or breakers that do get allocated a lot, a larger proportion of obviously of products is inevitable. I do think, you know, obviously, you know, if you're a breaker with a massive customer base, with a massive following, obviously Panini are going to be like, Top's going to be like, yeah, whack them some cases because they're going to open it on release day or day before release day, whatever. And unfortunately, I don't think we can really deny that or anything like that, which obviously is just unfortunately the way it is. But I do think your average Joe, the boxes, the product, the availability needs to be better. There are so many people in the hobby that would happily go and buy a box, would happily order a box off a website, off Panini, off whoever, given the opportunity being there. Yes, I do think the raffle system on Topps website is a lot better than what it was previously, which is literally first come, first serve. I do think the raffle system has been better. Obviously, then it is just literally pot luck. But I think, yeah, Panini, for example, need to definitely increase the allocation within the UK and make the everyday boxes more and more available to the average collectors, because it's just, as you say, your hand's forced to go into breaking, you know, enter into a break because you physically can't get hold of the product. And for some people, it might be an easier option because, you know, you can buy a spot and know you're only going to get those cards from that spot. You know, for example, for me and Arsenal collector, if I buy a box and pull X, Y, and Z, it's no good to me. Like, I could pull a, you know, see if it's a lower numbered card, you'd look to sell it. But any average card, you know, it's no good to you without, unless you're a collector of that particular team. But yeah, I just think, you know, the allocation, the UK hobby is marginally underappreciated in terms of how popular the product would be over here. And I think the sooner that people realise that, the sooner that businesses realise that, the more understanding they're going to have, obviously, of the UK scene.
Yeah, like I say, it's another one then that no doubt is going to be quite big within the coming months, especially we know Panini are losing big licences within the next 5 years anyway, so it's going to be intriguing what they do. And like I say, especially with Panini, one of their main sets is Premier League Prism, but you can't buy it direct from Panini in the country of where the games are played. To me, that still is a bit brainless and clueless, but like I say, there's someone higher up who's getting paid a lot more money than I do and has a lot more experience in cars than I do. There's a reason behind it. But like I say, we'll move on from that one now. And I think it's another one, obviously, we talk about card shows a lot, so we're not going to talk in depth about this one. But like I say, there's been a few card shows recently, not many. It's kind of that pre-season vibe you get every 2.5 months where there's not one for that 3 weeks. The guys at Third Down actually can have a week off and see the family. But it's obviously going back into it now. CardCon is coming up. Obviously, then the London Card Show is coming up yet again in Esher. So it's fun and games. Another couple of card shows to attend. I know that people are asking, H, when we're going to see you at a card show again. But there was a rumour on the streets that you're actually just not going to bother going anymore until you get to the Nationals. Is that can I say Sky Sources are correct on that one, or are they incorrect?
No, that's incorrect. No, that is incorrect. You know, the dream is obviously to get out to a national, to Dallas or somewhere like that. But I'm very much hoping and 85% sure I'll be obviously at the next London show. Obviously, work isn't particularly what's the correct way to put this? Easy to work around, obviously, to get to shows, obviously working weekends. But I've got a cup final the week before, so I need that Sunday off. So obviously, I'm hoping just to put the weekend off and be down there and be obviously down in Esher, obviously from the Friday to the Monday. So I will be there regardless on one of the days. There's no doubt about that. I'll make something happen. I will be at the next London show. It's not going to be a case of you never see me again.
Oh, that's I'm sure everyone is cheering with glory. But no,
I'd like to know what sources you heard that information from, to be fair.
I've got sources everywhere, you see. It was actually breaking news on Sky Sports earlier. That's where I
decent.
Parko Solikov, but he normally does get all the information wrong. So, yeah, again, he's probably got that one wrong as well. But no, like we say, it's always quite an intriguing one, because I feel like the hobby is always easy to see in person, because you can see the natural change over time every 3 to 4 months, these different shows, or every 2 months, that you can see the trends, how they shift, or what's been buying, what's being sold, the prices, the people. I would say you always get the core 50 to 100 people that you see everywhere, and you know them by name, which is always fantastic. It's always nice to see that extra 1 to 10% of people that you've never seen before, and then you end up talking to them. Obviously, for us, it's always great to see London car shows because they always change. Be venturing to a new couple of different shows as well around the country. I think that's always nice to see how they operate, and hopefully it'd be nice to get out to Germany for one, but like we say, scheduling. You can blame work. I just blame Arsenal because pretty much if there's something happening, it's Arsenal's playing. So
yeah. I'll be over off leave.
Yeah, so it's a happy medium there. So like we say, it's always fun and getting, especially at the shows. But coming full circle now, and I think I know we've spoken about it a bit, but the last thing is content creation. Obviously, for us being in that air industry, it's great fun. We've seen other shows pop up, other like podcasts. There's a good 5-6 podcasts now, which is absolutely fantastic to see. YouTube as well is, I feel like we're really going to start breaking through on YouTube in terms of people on it. Obviously, we've got sort of, you've got Dan, who's absolutely fantastic. You've got El Toro, who no doubt everyone wants to see back on the podcast. It will happen, don't worry. But like H, he's very busy with work, but no doubt we will be getting him on very soon. And you've got lots of Patrick Mahomes. You've got other guys as well that are doing it. But do you feel like that's still an untapped area, H, that it's the YouTube scene / content creation, that you do have people doing it, but obviously it's so much easier in America. You've got a show every weekend. Some of these people are making 10, 15K a show. You can't do that in the UK. That's just not possible. But would you like to see maybe that being branched out to a few more people within the hobby, just even if it's just showing what cars they've been picking up or going live with people? I remember at one point there was weekly lives that people had just talking. It was great fun. But do you think the content one is to think, all right, everyone's busy, but that's the one thing I feel like the UK, that's the next thing to really start branching out and exploding, is the content creation scene.
Yeah, I think you've pretty much had the same familiar faces on YouTube on in terms of the content creation for the last probably 6 to 12 months. And also they are obviously at the moment the front runners. Obviously, like I said, obviously you've got GBW, you've got Sports Cards UK, Pat Grip, El Toro, obviously that almost lead that line. But I still think there's such a massive area, like you've said, that needs more growth. There are so many people out there that could start making content, whether that be through podcasts, whether that be through YouTube, through TikTok, Reels, I don't know. But I still think it's such an area that is waiting for a massive spur. And I think, you know, I think it will come this year, don't get me wrong. I think there'll be a massive sort of a massive increase in terms of the amount of content creation coming within the hobby. And I think we've seen that gradually over the last sort of, you know, 12 to 24 months. And I think at one point it's going to start taking off quite drastically, and hopefully that is this year. But I said, obviously at the moment, also you've still got, you know, a high performance, obviously, in terms of the current content creators. They've set such a high benchmark that, you know, people just got to go for it. You know, you're just going to take time to grow and to increase. You know, we're on episode 110. Like, you know, it doesn't happen overnight, but if you want to do it, because the audience is there, the availability is there, and I think it's just a matter of time before it has that massive takeoff.
Yeah, like I say, I've been speaking and outreaching to some of the YouTube guys, and lucky enough, we've got them. Most of them have actually agreed to come on at some point, which would be quite good to hear their perspectives on how they're seeing it all. So, like I say, guests will be returning very soon, and we've got some really interesting ones lined up. But I think you can sum up the UK hobby at the moment in one word, and I think it is determination. That everyone knows that there's, obviously everyone's doing this out of passion. Obviously it helps hand in hand that some people make money off of it, but it's at a point now where we've got it so far in terms of everyone within the hobby, every single person, that we know, whether it's some people saying, especially like the football / soccer side of it, building up to 26 World Cup in America, or whatever it may be, that we are on the precipice of it getting even bigger. Obviously, it's kind of plateauing at the moment in terms of the amount of people. You're getting a few people drop out, a few people join, but there's probably another boom going to happen at some point. Obviously, it doesn't help at the moment, the cost of living crisis, that people just can't afford to spend as much in the hobby as what they would want to do. But it is going places. We've noticed this, the uptake in tendencies at all shows around the country, as well, views on YouTube and the people or podcasts and all this, everything's going the way of it getting bigger. I feel like, H, I'll see if you agree with me in a second. We've got the building blocks now. We've got the fundamentals in place that when it does grow, we've got the companies in place. We've got the businesses. We've got the people all in place that will make sure it grows, the UK grows with the expected growth. And I think we are in a good place. I think a lot of people, I think being honest, me and COVID, probably thought we might be a bit further forward at this stage of time than what we actually are. But we're not in a terrible place at all. People are buying cars, selling cars, trading's coming a lot more into it. But we have got the fundamentals in place that with growth of more people coming in, that we can go with the growth.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, definitely. I think we've had them fundamentals, I think, for quite some time now. I think, you know, ever since COVID and what possibly we predicted, you know, back in the start of the podcast, where the hobby would be within a year, 2 years time. You know, it is so unpredictable. You know, we go through obviously very much spells in terms of where the popularity is there, then maybe it's not. Through the off season, it's a bit quieter. Then when the season starts, it picks up again. And unfortunately, it goes just in terms, it goes in line with the current, obviously the current season, the how popular the actual hobby is in general. So I do think with obviously some more people coming into the hobby, with the growth obviously increasing, the fundamentals obviously are already there. So it's just a case of waiting for even more people to submerge into the hobby for it to properly start to move forward. And, you know, we have taken so many steps forward, obviously, over the last 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, that there's so much potential still to delve into and to unlock. So yeah, it's one of them things, you know, you'd rather take it slow and get it right than rush it and it will fall downhill. So I do think, you know, with the likes of Fanatics, with the likes of, you know, possibly something like in the long run, PSA coming within Europe, there's so much potential to unlock in the UK hobby. It just needs the right people, the right businesses to fully unlock its true potential.
Yeah, like I say, I think we're getting in the right direction. I think the people in place, like, obviously, you everyone's going to agree with each other. That's just natural in the modern world. But like I say, it's going places. We know that there's shows, there's podcasts, there's videos, there's everything you need to be. But as we always say, we're so many years behind the States that if you compare, like, us to them at the similar stage, we're probably slightly more advanced than what they was. Obviously, it's just their sheer weight and growth that is ridiculous because they've got the sheer population that will go with it. Whereas obviously we're much more of a niche market within the UK. It's in the hobby is embedded into lifestyle in the US. So everyone grows up with it. We grow up with stickers, but not cars. They grow up with cars. They can go to their local Walmart, wherever it may be, like a cool shop. They've got a local car shop that they can get into cars at a very early age. And because they have them sets on their doorstep, then they naturally go into bigger stuff. And it's a much more natural transition, whereas the UK, you have to go out your way to find it. So, like I say, now it's becoming more readily available to people, whether it's in Tesco's, WH Smith's, wherever it may be. It is growing and it is going in a better place. And like we say, the UK scene is doing well. People probably hope it's doing slightly better. Some people might have been thinking it was doing slightly worse. But we are in a good place. And I can really see the next chapter, I would say, within the UK hobby is Fanatics. And I think that's going to be the big thing. This is not at all associated with Fanatics. It's nothing to do with them. We've got no allegiance to them. But just looking what they're doing in the States, it's going to be big for the UK side of it. So I think no doubt we're going to be quite looking forward to that one and other things that are coming up. There's a load of sets coming out. There's a lot of good stuff on the horizon. And obviously, before we do cap off this episode, we always want to talk about what, if there's anything we've seen in the hobby, if we've entered any breaks, or just to keep the people up to date, or what we're looking for. So, H, is there anything been on your so-called radar this week? Obviously, I think every single person and the dog, whilst in bed, are looking through eBay, looking at cars. I don't think there's one person listening to this who hasn't been in bed at some point this week looking on eBay. So, any other cars that have caught your interest?
Yeah, I think my watch list is longer than my arm at the moment, I think, on eBay. Some of which is just curiosity, some of which obviously is generally some interest. You know, obviously still looking for the two main individual cards, obviously the Gold Flood Erdegaard to 10 and obviously the Gunther Steiner to 5. But I think Prism has been probably been my main target obviously at the moment to the what's nice enough from Prism. There's some massive cards on eBay at the moment that obviously I've seen, and you know, I've favorited just to have it there. But yeah, I think for me it's probably still Prism. Obviously, I'm predominantly obviously keeping me eyes open for mangas, obviously, in particular. But yeah, apart from that, there's not much, unfortunately, to report back from the last week. I haven't obviously picked anything up. I'll tell a lie, actually. I did. Jack, GBW, obviously, I know we spoke about it obviously in the last episode off air, but I obviously picked up the Trossard Polaroid Auto to 49 from Simplicidad, I think it is. That was nice to pick that up. Obviously, the picture on that's fantastic, and as is the card. So, I think he's waiting to give that to RP Services.
Yeah, I do feel like Royal
Mail with my other massive pile I've got yours.
Yeah, it's slowly growing, and especially with certain deliveries incoming soon from the States and other parts of the world, it'll probably be blocking the camera soon. So I might have to relocate that. But I might actually set up like a PO box service right here and just have like each person their own. But that, like I say, I did refer last week that I was awaiting the results of a 4 cases worth of Switzerland that I bought. I won't bore you with the non-Granit Xhaka because I'm going to very much bore you with the Granit Xhaka. So managed to hit like 5 hits during the 4 cases, which is not terrible. Not the best, but not terrible. 2 numbered base cards. I've got the lovely blue to 250. Got the green speckle diamonds, whatever they want to call it nowadays, to 125. And then was lucky enough to hit 2 of the base autographs and then a lovely blue to 150 numbered autograph. So obviously they're getting locked away in the soon to become Bundesliga champions PC. And then another one of the side PCs that people probably don't know I even collect is New York Red Bulls. And there's a certain player, Lewis Morgan, he's actually Scottish, but now plays with New York Red Bulls. And they recently released Finest, and he's finally got autographs in it. So I'm going to slowly try and piece together the rainbow of his autos. I managed to pick up his orange to 25, actually on Trade Weed last week, for about £14. So that's the last couple of pickups. A few purchases that I've made in the States, which when they come over will be revealed, including some, believe it or not, with me, some very nice women's cards, which is, it's no shock anymore, because that's pretty much the only things I actually do pick up at the moment. But like I say, it's been a very interesting week. I think it's very good to talk about this within the UK. People shouldn't be scared to talk about how they feel. And I feel, especially people that we've been talking to in DMs or via our personal Instagram platforms, is they are quite just want to chat about cards. And I think that's the one thing I'd like to say, and I think I'd like everyone to echo it, is if you want to talk to someone in hobby, just reach out, message her. Our DMs are always open if you want a message, even if it's not card related and you just want someone to talk with, whether you want to chat through something or anything, always feel free to send us a DM. We're always available to talk, no matter what. If it's cards, football, just life in general, always feel free to reach out. As I say, people can always feel alone, especially within the hobby, but don't feel alone. There's always people out there. And H, obviously, recapping this lovely episode, obviously, we've got a few people lined up in the pipeworks before, obviously, card show season does re-roll through. So it's quite an intriguing time for the podcast. And like I say, we've got some things going on behind the scenes, which no doubt we're going to try and grow and get bigger. Like I say, we're not just talking about the UK, but we want to try and get more involved as well. But it's a great time to obviously be in the hobby, and it's quite an intriguing few months coming ahead.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely a great time to be also be within the hobby. And some of the things that obviously we've got lined up, obviously, in the next couple of months, and the hobby itself in the next couple of months, obviously, yeah, it's a great time to be a part of it. Obviously, we're looking forward personally obviously to being more involved, obviously, within the hobby than we already are. So, yeah, it's definitely exciting times ahead, and, you know, definitely can't wait to see obviously what's in store.
Like I was saying, another massive thanks to the guys at Third Down Space for powering up this episode of the Top Loaded Podcast. Whether you want your card supplies, your custom card stands, your streaming stuff, custom backboards, mats, whatever it may be, do go and check them out via the link in our bio or underneath our Instagram post, their little ads under there, so you can go ahead and click on their page. But do remember, if you're buying anything over there, use the code TTP10 for 10% off everything, especially that it's rolling into card show season. Do always ask them as well, because rather than waiting out for a postman, because most of it won't go through the letterbox, you can actually arrange to get it picked up at shows, which I can tell you, for one, saves a lot of hassle rather than having to look for Royal Mail and then you realise it's not coming today, it's coming tomorrow, and then no one's in. So if you are going to a show, reach out to them. No doubt they'll they take it along the show. You can just pick it up there and make it nice and easy. But like I say, I hope everyone out there is staying safe, doing well, and your families are doing well as well. Hope everyone's buying, selling, trading, and all that good jazz. But most importantly, happy hobbying and good night.